Today about the fact that we are sons, but not only are we sons, we are joyful slaves. Sometimes I think we lose sight of the fact that we have that relationship with Jesus. He's our older brother. We have that relationship to God. He is our Father, and that is a truth. But there is that other aspect that we shall emphasize today, and that is that while we are sons, we really never lose a changing of that relationship that we are slaves of Jesus. And I don't mean that in any bad, negative sense at all. And the whole purpose of this lesson is to try to help us understand how wonderful it is to be able to be a slave for Jesus and to cause every one of us to grow in our understanding of that and to go to another level of being a slave. And you'll see how that is developed as we look at this lesson. There are many relationships that we have to Jesus. We are His sheep. Isn't that what the book of John tells us? John chapter 10 and verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. We really understand about being His sheep. Who has not been comforted by that 23rd Psalm? Who has not had that time in their life whenever they really understood what it meant to say, the Lord is my shepherd? And to talk about green pastures and still waters and of Him anointing our heads with oil, with an overflowing cup. And how blessed we are this day to be the sheep of His pasture. It's He that has made us and not we ourselves. And He is that good shepherd and we are His sheep. But the Bible not only says that we are His sheep, the Bible says that we are citizens of heaven. We're in a kingdom. And so Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that relationship to all that is in heaven, to the King of Kings. We're not just His church, but we are His kingdom. We're not just members of His body, but our citizenship is in heaven. Think of the treasure of citizenship. And think of how all that is involved in the news right this very day and in this land is a struggling over citizenship of those who were not born in this land, but who long to be a part of this land. And think of the blessings that we have as being part of this land above those who are not citizens of this land, and then multiply it by myriads of time and come to a realization that we are citizens not just of this land, but of a heavenly land, and our citizenship is in heaven, and that's why we're pilgrims and aliens on this earth. The reality is, there is a sense in which all of us are just migrants, awaiting the time when we shall go to another land where we are really citizens. And we're sons of God. Listen to the power of these words from John when in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, and listen to the words. This is God speaking. Here's a message from heaven to try to touch our hearts whenever the Holy Spirit says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. That prodigal came back to his father saying, I'm not worthy to be called a son. He had it in his mind that he was going to crawl, as it were, on his belly back to his father, and his father wouldn't. When his father saw him, he said, this is my son, my son. And think of the manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And think about this. That because the nature of God does not change, just like God spoke from heaven at the baptism of Jesus and at the transfiguration of Jesus, and the God of heaven looked down to this earth and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There are those times in our lives when the God of heaven looks down at us individually and his heart says, "And that's my child. And I'm so pleased with my child." We're sons. And may we never lose sight of it. But there's that other aspect of our relationship, and that is that we are slaves of our Lord. There are two Greek words in the Bible that's translated servant, sometimes slave. One indicates a hired servant. And the other word indicates that individual who is a slave in the sense that we always use the word. That second word is used more than 100 times in the New Testament. And in those epistles, those letters written to Christians, that word is used 50 times, nearly 50 times. And almost every time it talks about our relationship. And so Paul the Apostle would write that first of the epistles as our Bible is laid out to the church at Rome. And three or four words into that epistle, he says, I'm a slave of Jesus. Oh, Paul, you're a son. Oh, yes, I'm a son. Paul, you're an individual who has great knowledge of the Bible. Yes, I'm an individual. You are an apostle, are you not, Paul? Yes. But I want to tell you something about Paul that changed his life and that can change your life, and that is a realization that I'm a slave. But we're different kinds of slaves. Whenever we think of slavery, we think of the history of this land and of those individuals who were abused and mistreated by the masters of those plantations in the years ago. We think of the abject fear that was within the heart of some of those individuals who were slaves at that time. We think of the abuse that they received. We think of the fact that they had no control at all of their lives in any respect. But whenever God talks about us being slaves, He has in mind us being the kind of slave that the Old Testament talked about whenever it said that Jewish individual who had become a slave to another Jew at the end of 7 years would automatically receive his freedom. But there were those times whenever that individual who'd been a slave in the Old Testament, that they were so blessed and so well treated by that Jewish Lord that instead of going out and be responsible for their own lives, they wanted to remain a slave because, not because they loved slavery, but because of their relationship with that master was so wonderful and they could not imagine anything ever being any better than that. And so they would go to that master and would say to that master, "Please let me be here. Let me stay here as your slave." And as evidence of that, they would take that Jew, put his ear against the doorpost, and pierce his ear as a sign that he wanted to be a willing slave. You see, that's the kind of master we have. Not that kind of master of the Old South. Not that kind of Lord that stood there and removed every sense of nobility that slave might have had, every sense of self-worth. Oh no, that's not the kind of master that we have. And that's why we sing that song sometime. "Pierce my ear, O Lord," we pray. "Take me to your door this day. I don't want to be a free man. I want to be your slave." You see, I believe there are three different kinds of slaves. There is that slave that says, I have to do this. There is that slave that says, I want to do this. And there's a third kind of slave that says, I get to do this. What are we talking about? Look first at that slave whose relationship to his master is, I have to do this. And understand that the burden that is within the heart of that individual who is that slave is that he's motivated by fear. The consequences of not doing this, the consequences of displeasing my master, is just so wretched that I'm just motivated by fear. And whenever I think of that kind of relationship, well, I just have to do what he says. I have to obey my Lord. Have you ever thought about the fact that there are Christians who have this kind of relationship with Jesus? Who have an attitude toward Jesus, well, I really don't want to live right, but I don't want to go to hell. I'm so terrified of going to hell. I really, really don't want to go to hell. And so the level of the relationship that they have with Jesus is a level that stops right at this point that says, I have to obey Him and therefore I will. And there's a mindset that has developed among far too many Christians. And I beg of you to look at your heart this morning and to examine, put yourself in the very presence of God and say, You're my master. And to examine the relationship that you have to the Lord. And is it a relationship where serving God is something that, well, I just have to do it. I'm really not happy doing it. But I don't want to go to hell. And you think about the manifestations of that principle out in daily life, the application of that fear. There are Christians whose mindset is, I just have to go to church. And there may be some of you who woke up this morning and your mind was, well, it's Sunday and I have to go and I have to eat the Lord's Supper. And the service that is given to God comes from an attitude of, well, I'm just so burdened, I just have to do it. It's manifested in living morality and the principles by which they live. Well, I just have to live right. I really wish I could live out here like everybody else in the world, but I'm telling you, I don't want to go to hell, and I'm not about to live like they do out in that world. And so I'm going to have a moral standard in my life, but the whole motivation of that is that it's a relationship that I have to God that is a have-to relationship. In the matter of giving, exactly the same thing. An attitude, well, I just have to give. Somebody might look at me if the basket goes by and I just feel a sense of a have-to kind of situation, and I know the Lord's blessed me and I just have to give this to Him. Let me tell you something. If that is anywhere close to the kind of relationship that you have with God, as it's just you and God and you're thinking about yourself, I beg of you, my brother, my sister in Christ, to come up to another level. That's not what God had in mind. That's not what the cross is all about. The reality is that oftentimes the result of those individuals who live this kind of life of I just have to serve God is a life that is miserable and oftentimes characterized by hypocrisy. You've known people, have you not, who were so judgmental and critical of others, who knew the Word of God, but their whole relationship was an external relationship to God. Well, I have to sing, I have to pray, I have to listen to the preaching, I have to give, I have to go to church, I have to live right. And the whole time their heart is never, ever involved in it. Their whole relationship to Jesus and to God is a have-to relationship. Brother and sister in Christ, if that's where you are, I beg of you this day to look inside your heart and to change your heart today. There's another life that is so much greater, listen, than the life of misery you're living as a slave of Jesus. There's a second level, and that is a level that says, I want to be a slave. So different from the attitude that says, I have to be a slave. But obviously, as we've already noted in the introduction part of this lesson, there's a third level above this. But it's a relationship that's built upon the fact that I know the Bible. I know those stories. I may have grown up in the church, or if I haven't grown up in the church, I've spent some time in my life just studying the Bible. And so I know of Jesus. And I want to serve Him. And again, there is that burden. There's a sense of obligation that is on that individual. But there's always the burden of performance. A mindset that says, well, I'm just not good enough to go to heaven. A mindset that says, I really wish I could be up here, but I know I'll never, ever, ever, ever reach that. I want to live a Christian life, and I want to be a slave. And I've got the intellectual, I've got it all figured out about the cross and about redemption and sanctification and justification. But I'm so concerned about my performance. And you take that and make that application over here out into the life in those same four areas that we've talked about the others, and you come across a similar kind of thing. Well, I go to church. I go Sunday morning. I go Sunday night and I go Wednesday night. God must be pleased with me. And I go not really because I have to, though I really have to tell you real honestly, I feel like I have to go because I'm performing for God. And my master is such that he sits up there in heaven, and if I make one mistake, I'm in trouble. And there is a burden of guilt that I have in relationship. I just may not measure up to what God wants me to be. When I examine myself, I don't like what I see, and so I have a burden of guilt that I carry with me. And you see it in other aspects of life, not just in worship, but in service, in morality. And the end result of this can be a sense of Phariseeism. That, like the first individual says, I know I'll never reach this level, and the only way I can do this is to develop an air of self-righteousness about the performance that I have, because I thank Thee, Lord, that I'm not like these other people who are not measuring up to my standard of what righteousness is all about. And the same application to the other parts of this lesson. But I want to beg of you this morning, have a third attitude. And that is, I get to be a slave. I get to be a slave. Whenever we arrive at the point of thinking about the fact that it is so wonderful that I get to serve Him, that the God of heaven can use me, I get to be a slave. There is that understanding of fear. There is that realization, if I don't live right, I'll go to hell. But that's not primarily my motivation. And there is that sense of knowledge and getting inside the Word to a realization of what God is. And there is a sense of obligation. And there is a desire to perform God. But the real difference between item number two, or the second kind of slave, and the third kind of slave, is it's a heart that's filled with gratitude. God has been so good to me. I get to serve Him. Think of these applications in these four areas. There's an unbelievable difference in the attitude that says, I'm going to church and I'm going to worship. Now think about it. I have to go to church or I get to worship God today. That this very day, when I assemble with my brethren, I get to praise God. And as the incense of old went up as a sweet-smelling savor to God, so our songs and our prayers go up into the very presence of God, and God is happy and smiles on us. And I get to worship Him. You see, that changes this supper. That changes singing. I get to pray. I get to ask God to bless those of our people who are on these mission trips. I get to ask God to bless those who are sick. I get to ask God to bless those who are struggling with their faith. What a blessing it is that I get to do this. And I get to serve Him. And so the matter of going and ministering to others and being the hands and the eyes and the feet of Jesus, it's not a sense of burden. Going to Renova on the first Sunday to sing, it's not a sense of burden. Monday night visitation, that's not a sense of burden. Helping those individuals when names are given of those who are sick and need help and are there in the hospital and the hospital is given, it's not a sense of burden and obligation that I have to go to see those individuals. God is using me and I get to be used by God. Because of what He's done for me. And I beg of you, my brother and sister, right now to examine your heart in reference to worship and service and living a highly pure moral life. I get to be the light of the world in the way that I live morally. Not I have to live right and oh, what a burden it is to say no to my friends. I cannot live that way. I get to be the light. And in reference to giving, whatever God has given to me, I get to give it back to God so He can use it. I want you to hear that. In reference to giving, what God has blessed me with, I get to give it back to Him so He can use it. I beg of you, my brother and sister in Christ, to be a slave, not a have to, Not just a want to, but I get to serve God.